Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover.
Hear their personal stories.
Find out how they became so successful.
Learn their secrets and join them at the top.
Come on,
get seriously buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswad.
Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Welcome to a brand new season of VO Buzz Weekly, and it is rocking right from the start.
Absolutely. It's going to be nothing but madness, and it starts right now with Kevin Michael Richardson.
Here we go. Okay, you guys, what better way to kick off the new year than with one of our most requested guests ever? True story. For decades, he has been creating genius characters in animation, video games, and commercials. We are so excited to get buzzed with the Daytime Emmy and Annie Award nominee, and pretty much one of our favorite people in the entire world, Kevin Michael Richardson.
Yay! Put it there, dude.
I love you, man.
Kevin Michael Richardson, finally on VO Buzz Weekly. You asked for it, and you got it. Hey, where's that thing you were smoking? No, not that. The other thing. Yeah, that.
The pole.
Give a little puff. This thing smells like, what does it smell like? Pineapple and what?
She said Hawaii and a stick.
Yeah. It's,
Hawaii and
like
a stick.
Hawaii and a stick. That's great.
Modern technology.
I love you, Hawaii, by the way. No offense to any Hawaiians. Mahalo.
No, we love Hawaii.
That's where we got married.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at this thing.
Pineapple and blueberry. Fruit basket. It's like a fruit basket.
And menthol.
They call it a shotgun, man.
It's not good, right?
Like, how are you, man? It's no, good. No, it's...
Well, he smokes? I don't know he smokes. I ain't gonna watch him now.
I'm feeling... It's not smoke, it's steam.
Water vapor.
Yeah.
Water vapor.
Yeah, water vapor.
Exactly.
It's our special effects. We're doing special effects this season.
That's right.
Fog machines.
I gotta say, Kevin is the most... He's the busiest guy on planet Earth.
Yes.
And man, we are so lucky and privileged to have him here on VO Buzz Weekly today, smoking his little electronic cigar, so it's not even real. Dude, thank you so much for taking the time and coming down. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, thank Chuck. You. I love you so much, Dace. Absolutely. You've been asking me for
a year.
Well, what is my motto is I persist without exception unless there's a restraining order, and so far, no one has taken us away.
Exactly.
But now, we know how crazy busy you are.
Absolutely.
But we have, for 2 years, people have said, we want Kevin.
So no way.
Thank
really?
You so
nah.
much.
Yes, they have.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, we were kind of waiting till your career took off.
Yeah.
And so now
still waiting. This is a courtesy.
So now that you're on like 24 shows instead of one dozen shows, we figured, okay.
This is a mercy interview.
Yeah.
Make him feel like he's important, guys.
This
make
might break like your career, Kevin.
Yeah, it sure might.
I don't know, because, you know, people...
Yeah. I can use it.
I want to get down to it, man, because we got some really cool questions for you, and there are a lot of people out there that want to know all about you.
Yes.
And today they're going to find out. You started out as an on-camera and stage actor, right?
Right.
Years ago.
Right. I studied at Syracuse University.
Okay.
And I graduated in '88. Moved out to California in 91, and I literally moved out here to do a play at the Tiffany Theater on Sunset. It was called Musical Comedy Murders of 1940, and I was only planning on staying those 2-3 months of the summer of 91, and I stayed ever since.
Wow. What made you stay?
Things started, the ball kind of started rolling, like, in between the play and stuff, like... commercial for HBO. I was asked to do a commercial here and there, the guest spot here on television, and so I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So I I'll you know, stick around and check this out.
Cool,
it just
kind
of happened from there. So
you ended up in the land of opportunity.
Yeah.
The city of opportunity.
The city of angels.
What would you consider was your first break in voiceover?
Well, that's a good one. Oh, boy. Animation-wise, was this the new Pink Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I was Eric the Red. I was some Viking. I was so nervous. I was 45 minutes late. I wasn't paid up with my dues. I didn't know where I was going. I had this man, this old. I don't know if you knew me. I had this old Volkswagen Bug in 1972.
I didn't know you in 1972.
I had like 400,000. No, it was a 70. It was a Partridge Family. No. It was a. It had like 400,000 miles on it, man.
Oh my gosh.
It was falling apart. I was late. You should have seen me. It was like a circus that me getting out of this.
Did the clouds or smoke when you turned it off?
It was
could have run alongside.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. And I had like, this little fro, and when I got out.
Oh, you had a little fro?
Yeah. I'm sure I got a picture somewhere, but when I got out, you swore 14 other brothers were going to get out and start dribbling the ball. You know what I mean?
I didn't know the Globetrotters were in town.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh man, I was just a mess. But I got my stuff. I got my act together and just. But that was my first big animation gig. But I really at the moment can't recall any other.
Well, like for you, what did you feel like? What happened in your career where you said, "Whoa, I think I might be in this to win it," you know? Like, when did you really feel for yourself, not necessarily industry standards, but for you, did you feel like, wow, I am in this business?
Yeah, I guess that would be the start of it. I mean, because I would be asked to do guest stuff, and of course audition for other animated shows.
Right. Yeah.
But, man, I gotta tell you, that's a real good one. Whether on camera or off, ER.
That's right.
Yes.
The first season, which was 94, I played Patrick. He was this mentally challenged
patient
that would show up with a, like, you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't born yet. But then I had a football helmet, a Chicago Bears football helmet, and I would walk around bumbling into stuff. And that was kind of a big breakthrough role for me. And I became friends with George Clooney and those guys. And Rosemary Clooney, God rest her soul, was there. And she would, like, give me a hug after every take and a kiss. And, and she would invite me over. She would want to invite me over to eat. That never happened, unfortunately. And George Clooney would be like, yeah, we got to make it happen. And whatever happened, we'd always do our dueling Captain Kirks together and stuff like that.
And
we did it for her, and she'd be like, she loved it. But, you know, that to me said, wow, I think I have something I can, so I'm going to stick with it, you know. But I had no idea it was going to go off into voiceover.
Right. You probably didn't even know what voiceover was.
Well, yeah, I mean, I knew what it was. I mean, I was getting the idea of it, you know, but the fact that people made a living doing it,
right,
I was like,
right.
What? Really?
Really?
I said I could do that. Because, you know, growing up like you and messing around with you and Jess Harnell and stuff, you know, when you have friends as a kid and you're goofing off and like joking around, you know, you don't really look at that as this could possibly be a career choice, you know?
Were you always the kid? Because, I mean, you're the youngest of five kids, right?
Yes.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which, I saw you at the reunion.
I didn't even know that, man.
Yeah, I love that.
And then I grew up in Binghamton, so we have all these like.
Oh,
it's kind of funny.
Okay, there you
but
go.
But when you were, sorry, I digress.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna go take a nap.
You were always.
You're my sister. Oh my God. Yeah.
My parents never spoke of the brother I never had. But did
Stacey,
you?
Stacey, there's something we have to tell you.
You're He's not the youngest.
Chocolate skin. But he's special. We couldn't keep him. No.
Were you always, you know, joking around as a kid, or did you play around with voices when you were little?
Oh, yeah. At the dinner table, you know, at the breakfast table, I'd either be doing like, you know, Barney Fife from, you know, the Andy Griffith or Flip Wilson. It's Geraldine on the flip show, if you remember that stuff. Yeah. This is going way back.
What does he sound like?
Oh, Geraldine was like, killer! Something like that. I don't know if you remember, Flip Wilson would dress up as this ultimate character called Geraldine, and like, you know, he was hysterical. Mm-hmm. And I would just watch this show and like, you know, take it all in, or laugh in, or any kind of comedy. Because originally I wanted to be a comedian. You know, I said, I'm going to be a comedian. But my father, my dad was very strict when we were growing up. He was really strict. So he says, you're not going to be a comedian, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. So I said, okay, well, then I'll be an actor. You know, because you see, like, James Earl Jones and, you know, Sir Laurence Olivier, and they're respected. That looks like
a lawyer or a doctor.
Right.
That looks like a refined, respectable job. I'll do that, you know, and then, and of course, that didn't, you know, stop him.
I mean,
he tried, but, you know, thank God for my my mother and my oldest sibling, my oldest brother, who was always behind me and mm-hmm. gave me that push and always believed in me. And that had a lot to do with, I believe, you know, what I can do today. Because, you know, when you grow up having family members who believe in you,
oh, yeah.
very special.
Absolutely,
very, very special.
Yeah.
Very special.
Yeah, yeah. We need that.
Yeah. So I'm all right, though.
Here, dab with the apple.
Everybody's watching.
Oh, man, he's a fat looking.
No.
Right? yo, man, check this dude out. That's the dude, Dick Cleveland Jr. right there, yo. Yeah, brother. Yeah, right. That's him, man. Nah, that ain't Suge Knight. That ain't Suge Knight.
That's Suge Knight.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
You know, I'm just being... I'm being stupid
okay,
right
we're
now.
Going to,
I'm not even making sense, yo.
We'll be right back right after these.
No, don't go.
Okay, so now that we're back from that, we had to do a little cut there because you guys could not go there.
He likes that now. He's doing his own special effects.
Happy Halloween. Yeah, I learned that from my son, my oldest stepson. Okay, anyway.
A typical day in Kevin's life. I want to know what you do, man. You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you eat, then what? What happens?
Go to 94 sessions.
Let me see. A typical day, I get up, I got full wood, and I'm like, okay, what do I do with this thing? My wife is sleeping. I'm like, honey, I don't know what to... Sweetie, no.
After you resolve that issue...
No. Typical day. I apologize if I offended anyone, by the way.
No, you don't. Okay. Don't apologize.
Yeah, anyway, back to... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. What do I do? A typical day, I get up, I say my prayers.
Good for you. That's a good boy.
And then I try to meditate. I do a little TM in the morning if I can squeeze in about 2 to 15 minutes.
What's TM?
Transcendental meditation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've learned it from George Quant, who's a phenomenal teacher. Grew up and studied alongside with Deepak Chopra. Mm. They studied together. Great guy. And I'm the last person. I'm the last person in the world who would ever consider meditation. Seriously,
it.
And it's really quite wonderful.
What does it help you do?
It lowers my blood pressure. It chills me out. Helps me stay a little focused.
Okay.
Actually, a lot more focused. And it's just like an inner peace. I'm kind of a newbie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I found some benefits that way, especially physically and like...
Do you set intention for the day, or do you ever do that?
I worked on these kind of... He said, you know, it causes you to be... It helps you to be, how do you say, more in touch with the parts of your brain that you do not use.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to, like, really work on that because I have a lot of space there.
There's a lot of brain there that you haven't used.
Right, right, yes. You know, 6 years of college. Anyway, So happiness, joy, happiness, joy, serenity, energy, intelligence, creativity, unconditional love, and perception.
Mm.
Those are parts of the things that you can learn, you know, while you do this.
Right.
So I focus on each one of those topics and say, what was happy for me? What was joyful for me? Where did I find serenity? What intelligence have I gathered? What creativity have I learned? You know, all these things.
Yeah.
And I just picture these things, not really adding words to them, but just picturing the actual events,
mm-hmm.
focusing on them, and I just breathe in my mantra that I've chosen, it really helps you. It really frees your mind.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like lumosity.com or something like
Lumosity?
That?
Lumosity? Was that like Lamaze or something?
No, the brain. No, it's
like brain exercises.
Not sure. Yeah. No, but I should check that out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should check that out.
No.
With all your free time.
But not to get all like serious and stuff.
No, but I love to meditate.
But,
I love it.
It's really beneficial and I need to do it more. I'm supposed to do it twice a day. And I'm fairly get in a few minutes. You can do it as little as 2 minutes, you know, as long as you get to do it.
Well, you probably just did it.
You know what I might have?
Yeah, I think you did it a little bit.
Yeah, I saw.
All of a sudden, like,
I saw Alec Guinness sitting there.
You
should meditate on taking off some weight.
No.
I would never want to see you looking any way than you do right now, buddy. We love you so much.
I swear. We do.
It's like every time that I picture your face, I smile.
You are one of a kind.
It is the best thing ever. I swear. Everybody.
One of the best kind.
If you know Kevin, you know what we're talking about. You can't meet this guy and not just fall in love. I don't care who you are, right? Right?
Rush Limbaugh. That goes for you too, Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh, come on down. Come on down, Rush.
Hey.
Well, I heard about this Negro fellow of yours. I'd really like to meet him. I don't really particularly, I'm not really partial to those kind of people, but I might give it a crack. I don't do crack.
But I'll give it a crack.
Yeah, I'll give it a crack.
Crack.
I'll give it a
crack. Crack kills. Don't do crack.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you are working on, okay. I mean, seriously, you need to take a day off of work to look at your credits. It's so, I mean, I am so proud of you for you. It's just wonderful. I love when amazing things happen to people. You're so deserving. And you are on so many shows.
I haven't looked at IMDb
it's like
for a while.
Dude, if you looked at it, you would freak out.
It's been a while. It's been a while, like years. I really haven't looked at it.
I mean, one of the newest is what? Uncle Grandpa is one of your
Uncle
newest?
Uncle Grandpa's a new one, yeah.
So fun.
Uncle Grandpa. Oh, I burped. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah.
It's okay. It smells like pineapple.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What do you guys think of that?
That smells like Chinese chicken salad.
Clean up on the guest chair. Clean up. Oh, we need a...
What do you think, folks? Man, I am blue today. I'm sorry.
You know, we're not going to edit any of that out.
Oh, great.
So this is how people it's are new, going to perceive...
The new year.
Michael Richardson is. Yes.
Right, this is bad.
The new year, no editing.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, this is a brand new year. We're starting it off with a bang.
Well, what... I mean, I know you... I know... I know, and we're back. I know that you get asked this, but I mean, for you, what are some of your favorite characters or ones that you feel just have stayed with you, either you that you currently are voicing or ones from the past?
There's, oh God, the two that stand out are Cleveland Jr.
Oh, of course.
And the Joker from the Batman. Mm. I really miss playing them both. The Joker was just, he was nuts. He was wild, so I had a lot of...
Can you do a little bit of the Joker?
The Joker. Remember the him? Joker, let me see. I always tend to do this line, but... I was feeling a bit screw-loose, so I checked myself in. He's nuts. He's nuts.
Wow.
And I had this free range to do anything I wanted with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had highs and lows and... You know, and the directors, both Andre Romano and Gina McSwain, who I had the pleasure of directing, allowed me this freedom. I had very little direction as to what to do with the lines or where to go with him. So it was just limitless, and I loved that.
Yeah,
so.
because
they can trust your instincts are incredible.
Absolutely.
So it's like, it's not like they're sending you off into oblivion. I mean, you...
Thank you. They're phenomenal directors.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But the character, you know, he stood for like... There was no stability with the Joker. There was really no direct line with him, which made sense because the guy was a psychopath.
Yeah.
And allowing that freedom, you know, added to embody who that guy is. So
how did you go there?
Well, when I was asked to audition, somebody asked me this before. I was having a really bad day, a horrible day. And I think I was doing Like Family. It was a sitcom for the WB at the time. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted. Cunningham, Escott, and DePeony, my agency, asked me to come over and audition. And I said, what do you mean audition for the Joker? Mark Hamill is doing this. Mark is fantastic at it. He's great. What are you talking about? They said, they're going a new direction. We have new producers. You know, they're just going a different direction. This is a different kind of Joker. And I was really upset. So on the microphone, I was so mad and frustrated and tired that I put all of that into the mic. The idea of, I don't know what it was I was thinking, and then I realized it later on, but I poured it all out into the mic, and literally like a day or two later, they called and said, you're the guy. And I was thinking about Hannibal Lecter meets Jiminy Glick, Martin Short's character.
Okay, yeah, of course.
With that high voice.
Yeah.
You know, see, you know, when he does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I added that to that really deep, seething, Lecter-ish kind of look and intensity, and I just mix it up, and that's what happened.
So great!
Wow.
Well, and Cleveland Jr.
Well, Cleveland, hold on. Cleveland Jr. Isn't that your Twitter?
I'm a little crush on
Cleveland Jr. Isn't your Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah, at Cleveland Jr. verified. Jr. Yeah, and I was I couldn't for some reason use my name. I guess there's other Kevin Michael Richardsons.
Well, you'd be the guy in the Backstreet Boys or something like that.
Dude, that drove me nuts.
Didn't you used to get gifts that were meant to him? And yeah, I remember that. You used to get gifts that came to you.
Right.
When they were supposed to be for him.
You guys are so much alike. Yeah. It's really like he's
getting gifts.
It's like I was looking into a mirror. Yeah, right. Guy's so damn good looking, and, you know, and then I come out and I'm like, how you doing, everybody?
I need some choreography.
Yeah, they're like, bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye, bye. Yeah, I'm a Backstreet Boy. Bye, bye, bye. Little kids all over the world go, mommy! What's wrong? Come on, don't you want an autograph? You know?
I snorted. Okay.
Why do you love Junior so much? And how did you come up with the voice for it?
Man, if I showed you a picture of me when I was 12, I kind of looked like Junior for a split second there. Yeah. I was asked to do a bunch of roles, guest roles on Family Guy. Those guys have been really, you know, cool and so nice. Seth MacFarlane, those guys. And when I was asked to audition for the Cleveland show, I was originally cast as Lester, the redneck, you know. So I was like, okay. And of course I had to audition, and I came up with Lester, you know, but my first voice of Lester was more little gruffer than that, like this. And if you listen to the earlier episodes, it was closer to that.
Mm-hmm. And then he ended up sounding more like this, you know, not like a cold beer to cool down your wife punching hand, folks.
You know, that's the kind of guy. That's the kind of guy Lester was. They weren't even considering casting me as Junior. You know, I remember seeing a bunch of celebrities in there, like all these singers, and I was like, whoa, when they brought me back, and they had me read. I didn't even know Mike Henry, who had played Cleveland.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who he was. I just thought he was this nice guy hanging around with Seth MacFarlane, because he would go, hey, Kevin. I go, hey, how you doing, man? Hey, I did not know he was Cleveland.
Yeah, you gave him the look that Cher gave you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, like, so it kind of sounded like Cleveland. No, anyway. So, you know, they brought me in. They asked me to read. They showed me a picture of what Cleveland Jr. looked like. And I said, oh, well, okay.
It looks like me.
Yeah, well.
my yearbook picture from junior high school.
Yeah, well, hard as potato slide. No, but I looked at it and I walked in there and I said, all right, I got an idea. And the first idea I gave them, Seth MacFarlane went, no. I was like, okay.
And why you always have more than one.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what else to do because I was, which you're right, you know, usually have like a backup plan. But at that moment, I was so, you know when you're so dead on sure that this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't the case at all. So Seth and Mike said, picture what Cleveland Senior sounded like as a 13, 14-year-old boy. And I went, oh, okay. So I incorporated what I thought that would sound like with my character from ER, Patrick.
Yeah.
So because I remember Patrick was like, well, hello, can I help you? You know, he kind of sounded like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of Mike Henry's character. And, okay, he's got a little more Southern in there with Virginia. Mike Henry
always kind of sound like that. Well, what if he was lower and went lower
and then lower and then lower, and I guess it came out something like this. And then they just shook their heads and pointed.
Yeah.
All she wrote. So it was like, that's how we came up with Junior. Daddy, will you wipe me? I'm talking about bones deep in love, you know. It was fun.
That's what you call bringing a character to life.
To life, yeah. So I miss him. I'm sorry the show's gone, but it's syndication.
But it lives on.
He'll live with you forever,
man. Thank goodness for syndication and technology. I mean, he'll be around forever, thankfully.
Well, that concludes part one with Kevin Michael Richardson. We're going to be back next week with more craziness.
Yes, we'll see you next week. Keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest at VO Buzz Weekly. Take care, everybody, and just remember, you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VO Buzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VO Buzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Duran's Demos That Rock. The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you. Visit DemosThatRock.com and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.